Welcome back into Carpenter and Rothman. Matt Hayes, Brandon Beam hanging out with you. Happy Friday. Hope you got all your Christmas shopping done because it's going to be crazy town.
It's pandemonium out there.
Today and tomorrow.
It's like the Wild West.
Good luck. One guy that I know has already got his stuff done.
No, I don't.
Oh, no, there you go. He doesn't. Joshua Perry, former Buckeye national champ, current Big Ten Network college football analyst. So where are you? Are you going to go out with all the Savages this weekend?
No.
Okay. All right. You too good for that? Too good for public appearances? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what I hear.
Not too good for public appearances. I'm just trying to avoid it, man. Amazon's a great thing. You know, Target, they do some great deliveries out this way. So I'm going to avoid leaving the house. I just got back from Madison, Wisconsin yesterday, and a couple of days after Christmas, I'm flying to Chicago and then to L.A. So I'm trying to be in my home as much as possible.
I get it. So you were in Madison, Wisconsin, and that's a place where they run the ball really well. You've been watching this Ohio State team this year, JP. Run the ball great. Two guys over 6 yards a carry. Do you think that's an area where the Buckeyes can have some success next week against the Tigers?
Yeah, if I'm, you know, looking at some of the matchups and maybe an advantage for Ohio State, I think it is the Ohio State's rushing offense versus Clemson's defense. And I was sitting in watching a little bit of tape, actually, with the running backs room. And Clemson looks a little different this year than they've looked before. They'll put a three down front. They'll stack three linebackers up behind that, and then they've got kind of a hybrid guy who might play off the ball. They might block him up closer to the football, and they change that body type out too. And the reason they do that is just because they don't have the talent up front that they typically have. They've got a few young guys. I think their nose guard's actually a freshman guy playing in the middle of that defense. So Ohio State's going to have some running lanes, and they've got some great scheme design runs. So I'm curious to see how that goes, but if there was one advantage, I would think it's Ohio State running the ball.
Joshua Perry joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. JP, you look at this game coming up. To you, what's the most important unit that has to exceed or excel on the football field against Clemson if Ohio State wants to win this game?
I think there's really two units that it comes down to for Ohio State. Number one, it's the secondary. The defensive backs are going to have their hands full. Because not only are you going to see a few really good receivers, you're going to see a quarterback who is the best one you've seen all year, a guy who finished in the Heisman voting, and then a running back as well who finished in the Heisman voting. So they're going to need to show up, potentially running back getting out on routes, but also in run support, the safeties are going to be key in this game. So when I look defensively for Ohio State, that's absolutely it. But up front, I think Ohio State is going to have the advantage in the run game, but when Justin Fields has to drop back and throw the ball, I'm curious to see how they handle some of the scheme blitz patterns that Clemson's going to show, because that's one thing that they've done really well, is they've been able to design blitzes in the past that take advantage of protections and really confuse the quarterback where he has to maybe hold the ball just a tick longer and they can get some pressure. So those two units are going to be big.
Joshua Perry, former Buckeye national champ, joining us here on the fan. Go follow him on Twitter at RIP_JEP. I want to ask you about their running back and Travis Etienne, because we'll talk a lot about J.K. Dobbins, and rightfully so, with the season that he's had. But Etienne, he's a problem himself. He's going to be a handful for this defense, is he not?
Oh, absolutely. And he's a guy who probably didn't get the respect that he deserved. And I think nationally after Clemson played tight with UNC, a lot of people stopped watching their games. They really didn't have a game of consequence either, because their conference just wasn't very intriguing. And so he flew under the radar, but that's a guy who's averaging 9 yards to carry, something crazy like that, a bunch of yards after contact. He's a very elusive running back. And he will have Ohio State searching for answers at some point in the game. With a guy like that, it's kind of like Jonathan Taylor we saw in the Big Ten championship game, where Ohio State contained him in the past, but all that guy needs is a little bit of room and some wiggle and some push up front to be able to make some plays. They're probably going to give up a couple to him, but it'll be one of those where if you can manage how many yards he gets, and I think Virginia did a good job against him, they'll be able to take him out of the game plan, but it's just about managing what he does, because he's going to have some explosives.
JP, some of the players that are going to be needing to stop Travis Etienne, of course, a unit that you're familiar with, and the linebackers, but I mean, statistically bad year for Ohio State, and flush that down. You're through 13 games now. You got a national championship on the line when you take on Clemson in the semifinal. Like, How instrumental has Al Washington been in turning this group around? Because, like, you, to me, the linebackers, LBs, they got to play a great game to keep that Clemson offense down a little bit and not let them get the rush established.
I agree. And they've been huge this year. I think Al Washington has done a great job. I spent some time around him. And he just cares about players. He knows football. It's fantastic. And it's weird because these last couple of games, you get people lamenting about the linebackers on Twitter. You know, Pete Warner can't cover. And it's like you're putting him on an island man-to-man with some athletes. Like, yeah, they're going to get a couple on him. But he's been lights out the whole year. And it's like, oh, tough Borland's still not this and he's not that. And it's like, guys, that's been one of the most consistent units on this team, period, where those guys, you can count on them every game to go out there, make plays, might not be the most explosive, might not be the most exciting plays, but a lot of times you're not watching the game and talking about, man, I wish we could have had more out of those guys. And we have such a high standard at linebacker at Ohio State. I understand that 100%. But this group, especially where they came from a year ago, I think has been the most important on the defense because you can't attack them in the middle. And then you got to pick your poison with the talent in the front and the back end, how you want
to
do it.
Joshua, I want to ask you about Brent Venables and the possible challenges he could present to a, not a young quarterback, but a year one quarterback in Justin Fields, who's really getting his career started in the right way. But Brent Venables has been around for a long time. He's seen a ton on the offensive side of the ball. How do you think that dynamic can work? Like, what defenses or what challenges do you think a veteran defensive coordinator could bring to a game like this with a young-ish type quarterback?
Yeah, he's just always got tricks up his sleeve. Yeah. And I think the difference is, you know, Venables has been in this situation before. Justin Fields has not. So he's going to know how to get a feel for the game. As a coordinator, he's not going to be too excited. He's going to understand his guys. For Justin, I think a lot of it comes down to emotionally, too, walking into this game. How do you handle it? How do you keep your offense under control? So you give coach a check in that box. I think Ohio State's going to want to run a little bit of tempo at some point in this game because Venables has been known to change the call pre-snap, try to get his guys in the perfect defense, which blows my mind because, number one, there's no perfect defense. Like, it has to be executed. But number two, like, I just don't understand how he can sit there and claim that he knows what the offense is going to do and make the perfect call, but apparently he does it. It's kind of wild there. So I think they'll try to take that edge off. But to me, the edge that they're going to have is in the blitzes and the blitz patterns, how they're going to attack, and the coverage looks that they're going to have behind it. Because not only is it the pattern up front, making sure that your guys can pick that up if you're Justin Fields, but in the back end, when they're rolling coverages, when they're moving guys around, when they're inserting, you know, dropping a D lineman out, inserting a linebacker, are you able to recognize those things on the fly? And I think that's going to be the difference. But that's where 15 practices comes into play, and Justin's going to be well prepared for it.
JP, we know he came into the season with a ton of questions. I mean, first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, a lot of unknowns about this team, different coaches on this squad right now. But what part of this team, you know, as we lead into a college football playoff semifinal, has surprised you the most this year?
Oh, I just think it's the calm that these guys have. Because they were, when they were just blowing games out of the water and it looked like they were in control of everything, you never saw the guys get too cocky. You never saw them get overconfident. They just went out and handled business. And then against Penn State, against Michigan, against Wisconsin, the Big Ten Championship, when things started going a little haywire, you never saw guys panic, didn't see Coach Day panic, none of that. And it's like it's a team that you feel like has almost been there before, if that makes sense, where there's not a moment so far this year that's been too big, and there's not any amount of success that they couldn't handle because they do things the right way. And so that gives you a good feeling going into a game of this type of gravity that these guys are going to be able to handle it. They're going to be well prepared. And they've got a mature leader, too, in Ryan Day, who's done a really, really good job of making sure that they can handle all these scenarios. And I think part of it is where you've got some 3- and 4-year, 5-year guys that aren't going to be back that have sustained some terrible losses in the past. The other part of it is just the makeup of the team, just mature guys. But it's been really impressive to watch how they've handled this season.
Last one, we'll get you out of here on this one. Just give me your overall thoughts on the LSU-Oklahoma matchup.
Yeah, I think it's a little more intriguing than people want to make it. Jalen Hurts, obviously, really, really great player. He can do a lot of things offensively, throwing the ball and running the ball that are dangerous. And LSU's defense has been very inconsistent. And even their last couple of games where their defense looked better, Texas A&M is not a good offense. Georgia's not a good offense. So I take that with a grain of salt. I just don't know if they have the horses to be able to stop LSU, and especially since they've got guys suspended. But if they can find ways to hit the quarterback, if they can get to Joe Burrow and not even necessarily sack him, but just hit him, you know, just rattle him a little bit, it might slow the game down for him. But I think it's LSU all the way.
He's Joshua Perry, current Big Ten Network college football analyst, former national champ here in CBUS. JP, have a good weekend. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Hey, you as well. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.